Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that we're about to hear. We thank you for the conversations we're about to have. May the words of all of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, rock and redeemer. Amen. So over this summer, over the last few summers, we've been kind of picking some secular art to interact with our scripture, with the idea that God can speak through all manner of ways. He often speaks through scripture, certainly, through the acts and words of Jesus and the other prophets. But God also often works in the rest of the world. God is not limited to scripture and to church. We find God everywhere. And often we can find God in unexpected places, including sometimes in our secular art. So one summer we looked at some movies and interacted with them with scripture. One year we looked at books and how they interacted with scripture. So this year we're looking at music. And man, there's a lot of music. I know that's a little bit of an oversimplification, but so we have different decades to choose from. We have different styles of music to choose from. How do you choose between, anyway, many greats that happen at the same time? And we have 7 weeks to kind of cover what we can. So what I've attempted to do, and it's not in order, it's not in chronological order, the order is kind of based on the theme for the week and how things work out. But I've tried to pick some somewhat iconic artists from different decades, and I will have missed others. So my encouragement, I say this in the newsletter as well, if we're talking about something from a decade and there's a song that comes to mind that isn't the one we talk about, feel free to share that with me or with your neighbor. We get a chance to kind of learn more about each other's tastes, because musical tastes in particular are very specific and varied, which is lovely. And so we're starting this week in the 1970s with Marvin Gaye and his song, What's Going On, as well as a reading from scripture from Amos. But before we get there, what we're going to do is we're going to read some of the song, as well as, like if it was a psalm, you know, we're going to read a bit of the song and we're going to read the scripture together. But I just wanted to give a little bit of an introduction. So I grew up in the church. I cannot remember a time when I didn't go to church. And music was always an important time, important part of worship for me. When I started university, it was the first time I'd lived away from home. And for the first 6 months that I was there, I didn't go to church. I didn't have a place to go. And any of you who have ever walked into a church for the first time know that that's intimidating. It's a hard thing to do. You don't know what you're going to find on the other side of those doors. But what drew me back was how much I missed singing, and particularly singing in a choir. And so so February of that year, I'm like, that's it. I need to go somewhere. I need to sing. And I found my way into this very old, very traditional Presbyterian church that was singing Bach for anthems. And had very few people in the sanctuary, and most of them over the age of 60. But they welcomed me with open arms, and I got to sing, and I got to be part of that. So that's been my experience, but I know that's not everyone's experience. I have friends and family, so do you, who don't have a connection to God, who don't know what that's like. And for some of them, it's very obvious that they're searching for something, and they haven't figured out what they are, but they're trying to find it. And others don't seem like they're searching for anything at all. They seem like they're perfectly fine with the way they are. But I think the truth is that everyone has a Jesus-shaped hole in their heart and their soul and their mind. All of us do. And if it's not filled with Jesus, we try to fill it with other things. Some people fill it with destructive things like drugs and alcohol and other addictions. Some people fill it with things that are good, like work and family and hobbies and nature. Some people even try to fill it with religion, which is a whole other thing that we could unpack that we're not going to unpack today. And what tends to happen if they're good at it is we create a veneer where everything kind of looks okay, but underneath things aren't so good. That hole isn't really filled. It's really just a facade. So Peggy's going to read from Amos chapter 5, and she's going to read the words from Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. You will find those readings as well on your table. There's a copy for each table. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is, as she reads, I want you to listen to see if you can hear some of the things that make the people think that everything is okay. And what are some of the things you hear that makes it clear that maybe things are not as okay as they think? Now, in Marvin Gaye's song, you might have to use more of your memory for those who were around in the 60s and 70s, or perhaps your history if you know, and if you don't, you'll have to listen to those perhaps who were there who can share some of what was going on. His song is much more clear about what was wrong than what was right, but I'm going to invite Peggy up and she can listen.
Good morning. Good morning. You can hear me okay? And I'm coming through okay. All right, so first reading is from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 1 to 17. Listen, you people of Israel, listen to this funeral song I am singing. The virgin Israel has fallen, never to rise again. She lies abandoned on the ground with no one to help her up. The sovereign Lord says, when a city sends 1,000 men to battle, only 100 will return. When a town sends 100, only 10 will come back alive. Now, this is what the Lord says to the family of Israel. Come back to me and live. Don't worship at the pagan altars at Bethel. Don't go to the shrines at Gilgal or Beersheba. For the people of Gilgal will be dragged off into exile, and the people of Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Come back to the Lord and live. Otherwise, he will roar through Israel like a fire, devouring you completely. Your gods in Bethel won't be able to quench the flames. You twist justice, making it a bitter pill for the oppressed. You treat the righteous like dirt. It is the Lord who created the stars, the Pleiades and Orion. He turns darkness into morning and day into night. He draws up water from the oceans and pours it down as rain on the land. The Lord is his name. With blinding speed and power, he destroys the strong, crushing all their defenses. How you hate honest judges. How you despise people who tell the truth. You trample the poor, stealing their grain through taxes and unfair rent. Therefore, though you build beautiful stone houses, you will never live in them. Though you plant lush vineyards, you will never drink wine from them. For I know the vast number of your sins and the depth of your rebellions. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. So those who are smart keep their mouths shut, for it is an evil time. Do what is good and run from evil so that you may live. Then the Lord God of heaven's armies will be your helper, just as you have claimed. Hate evil and love what is good. Turn your courts into true halls of justice. Perhaps even yet, the Lord God of heaven's armies will have mercy on the remnant of his people. Therefore, this is what the Lord God of heaven's armies says. There will be crying in all the public squares and mourning in every street. Call for the farmers to weep with you, and summon professional mourners to wail. There will be wailing in every vineyard, for I will destroy them all, says the Lord. Thanks be to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What's going on? This is by Marvin Gaye. Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see, oh, what's going on. Right on, baby, right on. Mother, mother, everybody thinks we're wrong. Oh, but who are they to judge us simply because our hair is long? Oh, you know we've got to find a way to bring some understanding here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me so you can see what's going on. Right on, baby, right on.
Thank you so much. I'm going to put the questions up on the screen. Should be a button. Probably, I don't know. What's the button normally? P. Okay, try L. Oh, no, I know what it is. G? There it is. I knew it was one of those. Oh, it's a good thing Ian is consistent. All right, and I realize, there's been a lot going on in life, and I suspect that has maybe influenced some of my questions. I promise not all of them are going to be this heavy every week. We're starting with a bit of a heavy one. And what I want to add in here, so these questions, which I mentioned before Peggy read about what are the signs that things are, what makes it look like things are okay? What are the signs that maybe they're not? I want to add in there, and what are the messages of hope that we hear woven into those? Because we really shouldn't talk about these things without hope, and I miss them in the questions. So I'm going to give you some time to think about those things. Think about both from the scripture and the song, but then also from our present day. And then we'll gather back again. I'm going to give you, if you take about 3 minutes for the first part and 3 for the second, I'll give you 6 or 7 minutes kind of to talk, and we'll see how we're doing. If we're really still in the midst of things, I can give you a little more time. Those at home, I encourage you to do the same. We're going to mute things and we'll come back in a few minutes. All right. I imagine you could probably talk to each other all morning, but I'm going to bring you back now. I hope you, it seemed like you had some good conversations, and I hope you got to the moments of considering sources of hope that you find. I want to say, if you didn't, I want to share one of them, which is seeing you in conversation with each other. Some of you have known each other for decades, some of you hardly know each other at all, but to hear your conversation, to see you engage with one another, to me, that's an incredible source of hope. So thank you for being here and engaging the way you have. I want to continue a little bit. So what we hear from Amos is a call to repent, right? We pray a prayer of confession and adoration at the beginning of every service. Amos is calling Israel to come back and to repent. But he's framed it as a lament. And when I was first picking these scriptures, I thought I was going to be talking about the repentance part of this. And it's certainly part of it. But the lament was actually the thing, at least this week, that was really resonating with me. So we're going to talk a little bit about the lament that goes with the repentance. Lament is a common form of writing in scripture, and something we do rarely in the modern world. Sometimes there's this impression that if we're Christians, we have to be happy all the time, right? We've got good news, therefore, everything should always be good. We should always see the bright side of life. That's a different song that perhaps we could have used, Mr. Brightside. But the reality is, that's actually not what Scripture promises. Scripture doesn't, it promises us joy, deep, lasting joy, but it doesn't promise us happiness. It doesn't promise us a smooth road. And if we lose out on how to express our lament, how to express when life is hard, then I think a couple things can happen. Our faith can start to feel shallow, because it doesn't speak into our sorrow when we have it. And I think that it can cause us to maybe suppress those emotions, to feel like we're not allowed to have them because we're supposed to be happy all the time now that we've found Jesus. And yet we find lament all over the place. We find it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But the term may not be as familiar to you, maybe it is, but lament, I'm going to define it for this morning as crying out our problems to God with trust that God is listening. That when we offer up our complaints or our difficulties to God, that we are in fact, that God is listening and that God cares. And we can lament about anything. We can lament about everything from failing a project at school or work, or having an issue with our family or friends that doesn't seem like it can be resolved, all the way up to praying and lamenting about global conflict and injustice. We can go from the very personal to the global. We can go from things that are within our control and things that are outside of it. Amos is crying out because Israel doesn't even notice that anything is wrong. They are committing these horrible injustices and they're acting like everything is fine. What they're saying, if you hear that, we've got big houses, we've got beautiful vineyards, we're giving our sacrifices to the gods. What could possibly go wrong? In the meantime, people are dying, people are going hungry, people are losing their homes. There's all this injustice happening, and they've created this veneer of apparent wealth. Might feel a little close to home, or closer to home than we'd like to believe. And he's calling them to notice. But he's also calling out to God because he knows that the ultimate destination of this path is destruction. That God doesn't stand for injustice forever. And because his people are part of the problem, he's deeply sad because they're going the way of the other nations of destruction. But he does it not without hope. Even in the middle of his lament is this call to repentance, this call that even now, seek after good, shun the evil, and God will have mercy. God loves you. God never gives up on you. We find that in the middle of this crying out for help. And in some ways, we find the same thing in Marvin Gaye's song. The original, and sometimes even when you see it quoted in different places, you will see a question mark put on the end of the song. What's going on? And that was in the original that was written by, so this song wasn't written by Marvin Gaye. The description of the people who wrote it is, we gave him the suit and he tailored it. So he put his fingerprints on it, but he didn't write the original. And it had a question mark. But he was very firm that he wanted that removed, that it was not a question, it was a statement about the state of the world. He didn't want people to see it as something maybe they could get out of. Is this what's going on? He's like, no, this is what's going on. And he had a hard sell. He was with Motown Records, and he had been a huge hit maker for them. But what Motown did well is they stayed distinctly, almost without an exception, non-political, right? They released love songs, very simple, beautiful, popular love songs. And they had done very well at it for, you know, a little over 10 years. And they did not want to change. And other people had turned down this song because it was too political. And Marvin Gaye said to them, you put this song out, or I will never record for you again. They gave in, they put out the one song, and it was so popular that the founder of the record label challenged him to finish the record in 30 days. And he wrote the rest of his record in a 30-day period. Most of the rest of the songs, they're all protest songs of various forms on that record, as well as talking about some of his own personal demons around addiction. But he wanted people to think about, he wanted people to think about more than just romantic love. He wanted people in their music to think about the world and what they might be able to do about it. And he changed a lot that genre of music. It was one of the things that allowed Stevie Wonder to write the music that he wrote later in that decade. Unfortunately, he couldn't quite excise his demons. And he continued to struggle with drug and alcohol addiction. He has a bit of a tragic story. But in this moment, he was able to change the world a little bit and change the way people looked at the world. And he says that this album, the words in many of the songs were directed to him by God. His faith influenced what he said and what he felt was right. So I want to give us a moment to have an opportunity to write a lament. Now, this is not something, maybe some of you have done this before, but maybe you haven't. So there's some sheets on the table that have like a heart at the top. They say lament, and they have some instructions. So Rosie, I'm going to get you to put the next slide up on the screen. So same button and then hit the arrow. Here we go. So this is what we're doing. So this lament has five sections, okay? It has an address, it has a complaint, it has an expression of trust, a plea for help, and a concluding praise. This is often the pattern we will find in Psalms. We find it, various aspects of it here in Amos. It's a helpful tool. Now, I have given you some prompts. You don't have to use any of the prompts. You can only use the prompts. It is entirely up to you. Maybe the prompts will inspire something else. But the idea is that in the address, you're using a term or terms for God that express who God is to you in that moment. Right? And so there's a few suggestions there. There are many, many, many names for God. And you can choose your favorite, or you can choose one that you haven't used before as a way to kind of start your prayer. And you don't have to share these with anyone, right? You can write whatever you like. No one needs to know. If you decide you want to share, you can, but definitely no requirement to do that. And then you're going to pick your complaint. And it could be anything. It could be a fight you had with your parent or your sibling. It could be a difficult thing that's happening at work that's just not fair. It could be the war in Gaza. It could be anything. But you're going to pick something that you think is unfair, that you are upset about, that bothers you, and you're going to lift it up to God. There's some suggestions, but please be as personal as you would like. And then when we lift a lament up to God, we're always doing it in trust that God is listening. So this is where you put your trust. What is the word that, what is it that you hope is happening? What is it, or how, what is it you believe God is doing? Like, is God listening to you? Do you want to submit to God? Do you want to remember God's endless love or grace? What is it that you need to remember as you lift, about God, as you lift up that complaint? And then you're going to ask for something. Now, sometimes we're lifting up laments that we have done nothing to cause. And our plea might be that it would be resolved. That could be as simple as it is. Or that a relationship is reconciled. Or that we're given the courage to speak up even though we're being challenged. Or whatever it might be. Sometimes our lament is our own fault. And those are okay too, right? That's what we find with Amos, right? Is Israel, I'm sad for you, but this is your own doing, right? And so sometimes our plea might be, help me to say I'm sorry. Help me to realize my part in this. Help me to, you know, be kind to the next person I see begging on the street. Like, it might be something that you can do something about. It can be either. Maybe it'll be both. And then again, we finish with a word of praise, right? A reminder to ourselves that God is good, that God is faithful. We offer up, even in our lament, we offer up a word of praise and perhaps thanksgiving to God. So that's what we're going to do. I'll invite those at home to do it as well. We'll take a few minutes, and then we'll close after that. Looks like most of you had finished, maybe a couple of you not quite. I will encourage you to take the sheet home and you can finish your prayers there or as we finish our service. I'm gonna move to prayer now. And in this prayer, I'm gonna leave some space, both for prayers of thanks, but also for prayers of lament or, you know, what we call supplication, offering prayers up. Oops, gonna have to fix that. I'm going to invite you to, if any of you would like to say something out loud, you are welcome to. It can just be a name or a situation. You can also say your prayer silently, but I will leave some time and then we'll continue through. I'm hoping in this smaller setting, that might give some people a little more comfort for praying aloud. All right, let us pray together. God, I thank you for this time, for your invitation to gather. Thank you for your invitation to lament, not as people without hope, but as people who have hope in you. Thank you that you listen to all of our prayers of joy, our prayers of sadness, our prayers of thanksgiving, our prayers where we request help. May all of it be done as a form of worship. May everything we do worship you. God, there are many things in our lives where you have blessed us. We want to offer up our thanks to you this morning. Thank you for good discussion. God, there are also things in our lives that are challenging, things we've written on these papers and things that we haven't, situations that we lament or grieve, situations that cause uncertainty. We pray for those who are in pain. We pray for those who are anxious. We lift up names of people and situations to you now. Thank you, God, that you hear the prayers of our hearts as well as our mouths, the prayers that are in the depths of our soul. Help us to be assured that you answer all of our prayers, and help us to see how you do that this week and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.